Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah. It was so many technical issues. I got dropped like 3 times every time I was trying to add you in. I didn't know what was going on. I'm like, that has not happened before. But
I don't know. Like, something's going on with Instagram, because like I'm trying to log into my personal account and it's like not letting me do it at all. So
yeah,
I don't know what's going on.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's okay. You're on now.
Hey.
How are you? How are you? How's everything going?
Everything's been a blessing. I can't really complain about much of anything. Things are growing, and I'm really just excited to be here tonight.
Nice. Julian's been on Artist Hustle before. This is not his first time. But this is really cool. Hi. Yeah, drop in your names, where you're from, all that good stuff, your questions. We're talking about marketing and branding and strategy and all that good stuff tonight. And I'm really excited. But before we get into the questions, we need to know about Julian and how you guys can work with him, his background. So Julian, go ahead and introduce yourself. Where are you from? How do you fit in this business? All of that good stuff.
Yeah, so my name is Julian Keaton. I run an agency called Julian Jewels. We do a little bit of everything from talent management, digital marketing, concert promotion, you name it, we do it. I'm currently managing 5 artists right now here in St. Louis, Missouri. When I'm not doing music stuff, I run a mobile tech company called Dimensions, where we acclimate college students and transplants to new cities and get lifelong residents re-engaged in the community. And so when it comes to music, what we try to do is we try to work with artists to create fan experiences that ultimately create this really cool experience for the artists and to connect with their fans. So it's that's a good chunk of what I do. I've been in the business since 2005, and I got a lot of wisdom and knowledge over being in this space for so long. So
what do you love most about what you do? Like, for artists, what do you love about what you do right now currently?
I would probably say just like helping folks accomplish their dreams. Oftentimes there isn't enough just like emphasis on like why we do what we do. And ultimately is to like help people live those most fulfilled, happy, healthiest lives. And just the ability to allow art to be the medium for that is what drives me to do what I do. So that's why I'm still in this business.
Nice. I love it. And what exactly, the whole series is about building your artist team. And drop your questions. I'm pinning this right now. Hold on. How do I do this? Instagram's so weird. But anyways, drop your questions for Julian. But basically, there's a whole artist team. We've been going over this. This is the third week. And how does your role and what you do fit in with an artist? Like, how, you know, their day to day, if there's an artist that's interested in working with you, how do you fit into what they're doing right now? What if they said, well, I already do my social media, I already do my marketing, how can I work with someone like you? How's that going to help me get better or get to my goals or whatever it is? Like, how do you actually help artists day to day? Like, what is it that you do?
Yeah, so when someone first approaches me about wanting to work with me, like one of the first things that we do in our conversation is like we talk about goals. So SMART goals is something that I'm super big into. If you don't know what that is, it's specific, measurable, actionable, relevant, and time-bound goals. And so we try to establish those first if most folks haven't done them, just so they know kind of like what they want to get done. And then it gives me kind of like a framework to see like where their priorities lay and how I can be a best service to them. That's usually where we start. Once we kind of figure that out, we start to take a look at like what they have done, and kind of do an audit around that and see what worked. And then we see what they haven't done. And we try to provide some examples of what could work, you know, what has worked and what kind of the trends are headed. And so then we start to put together whether that's a marketing plan or some type of social plan or whatever the plan is, but then we start to develop that and kind of just figure out the game plan from there.
Nice. What's the difference? Because you're a business consultant, you do consulting services. What's the difference between what you do and what a music manager does? Like, is it much of a difference if someone's booking a consult call with you, Julian? how is it different? Is it certain things you do, certain things you don't do that a manager would maybe take on if they have a manager? Can you explain that?
Yeah, so that's an excellent question because I am a talent manager.
Okay.
But then I also, but I also am just a consultant for other folks, right? And so when the time comes, it's really a matter of like, I tell folks now, like, I'm not really accepting any more management clients just because I'm at capacity, but it's like, where are you at? What does your business need? Is it more of a marketing? Is it more of just growth? Is it more of just like fulfillment? Like, we try to get to the nitty gritty of how to help artists and even just businesses in general, because I work with, you know, non-musicians as well, how to get closer to revenue, right? Like, I had a conversation with a buddy of mine recently where he was like, your numbers, like your clients' numbers aren't right. And I was like, well, we just got a six-figure check from a sports team, right? So at the end of the day, I want to make sure that our clients are getting the things that they need to financially be self-sustainable. And then beyond that, it's like, all right, how can we make your business equitable, fair, easy to understand, easy to operate, and easy to just like live your life while staying an artist? We try to figure out how to make those systems and processes work for folks.
Nice. All right. Now we know what he does. Let's get into these questions. And if you're watching the live or even the replay, drop your questions. If anything, I'm going to put Julian's information so you guys can contact him. And yeah, I have some good questions. I'm excited to jump into this. The first question that we're going to go over is, as a musician, how do I brand myself, right? I know about branding, all that good stuff, but how do I actually make myself marketable to an audience? How do I do that as a musician? What's your best advice for musicians to do that?
Yeah, I would say be yourself. Like, a lot of folks try to give you these like these grandioso things, but at the end of the day, like, people look at artists and see them and want to be them. And at the end of the day, as an artist, you just have to represent yourself. That's one of the things oftentimes I see artists try to emulate other people, and that works for a very small period of time. But when you're more in tune with yourself, you're able to express yourself a little, like, people can see that you're expressing yourself, one, and the appreciation of that from others is greater. So, and me just personally, like, I feel like art is a medium for self-expression and thought and perspective. So that's like the basis of it. The more that you are, a group of people will kind of like gravitate towards that, and people can spot it when you aren't your most authentic self, right? So building an audience, to try to kind of answer your question now, like, building an audience is really about fostering a sense of community around shared interests, like goals, beliefs, affinities. And if you're able to express all of those things in your music, the right people are going to resonate around that and are going to want to be with you. That's really the best way to answer that. Like, that's really the best way to answer it. Like, that's branding 101, and just be yourself.
I'm going to throw a little question right here. Okay. All right. I know we got to be ourselves, all that. But what I've noticed, and artists have talked to me and they were like, Deb, like, I'm myself, but I'm boring. Like, I'm kind of, I don't really have a crazy personality. It seems like all the artists that quote unquote pop, they have crazy personalities. They do wild things on the internet, and that's how they get attention. So it's just interesting when you say be yourself, and I completely agree, you should be yourself, but it's like the industry does celebrate and push certain people that are a little more animated. Not necessarily they have to be all the way animated. Obviously there's certain artists that are really chill. They don't share a lot of their private business. I think it's just interesting, you know, being yourself and figuring out what do you do that's special that nobody else does. I think that's so important because as much as you want to be yourself, sometimes I've watched interviews and people are like, I'm actually very introverted. I think about, I was watching Beyonce's interview that she's like, I have to turn that on. Like, I have to turn on the performer. I have to turn, because in my everyday life, I don't like talking. I don't like, so it's like, you do kind of, like you said, be yourself, but you also realize that this is an entertainment field. So you do need to figure out what that is. It doesn't mean you have to be wild and crazy. You have to do crazy things, but you do need to figure out what is going to make you, what is going to make somebody stop strolling? What are you going to do to make somebody say, who is that and what are they doing? And I don't mean anything crazy that you have to like break your neck, but just something. Because I know for me, when I'm on the internet or even when I'm listening to something, has to stick out. I'm like, oh, that was different. That was kind of cool. So yeah, that's definitely cool. Danny said, and also knowing a part of yourself to promote and how. Okay. All right. That was a good starting point. Let's get to the next question. How should you trust any service online to promote your music? What's your advice on Googling companies to promote your music? There's so many music promotion companies out there. What's your best advice, Julian, on navigating that as an artist? How do you figure out who to trust?
I say, first off, trust your gut to begin with. You know, it's so many places, platforms, things that you can do to like promote your music. At the end of the day, it's like, you know, what's your strategy? What's your goal? And seeing what's worked and what hasn't worked, right? So for an example, a lot of folks for a while were trusting playlist promotion companies to get streams. Right now, what was it, about a year or so ago when Spotify was like, all right, anybody that's paying to get on a playlist, we're going to pretty much take your song down, right? That was that was definitely a major thing, and a lot of folks saw some of their catalog get impacted by that, right? So it's then like doing the research to see whether or not these like playlists, as an example, are credible, right? And there are a number of tools that you can do it. Like there's chart metrics that allow you to see whether or not a particular playlist gets updated frequently, or how many streams a certain playlist gets, how often they change out songs. Like all of that stuff is relevant, and that can help you kind of figure out what's what. Now, the music industry and just the business in general is trial and error. So again, you have to kind of trust your gut. There is frameworks and guidelines that you can follow that can kind of help you navigate whether or not a service provider is credible or not. I would say have a conversation, like get a demo, have a conversation, have that consultation, see what they can do, see what they can't do, ask a lot of questions. And then also, like, sometimes you get service providers that have proprietary technology, like get them to explain what this does, because oftentimes if they don't tell you, you know, you're not going to get any information on whether or not this is going to put your accounts or your music in a position to get flagged, and you don't want that. So best thing to do is, once you've kind of done your own personal research, you may have had that conversation with them, you know, ask some of their previous clients and ask them for their experience. Those are some of the best ways that you can kind of see if you should trust this service provider or not.
I know me personally, when I was music managing a couple years ago, and my artist would come to me and he's like, hey Deb, I found a random promotion company, but all they had was an email address. Like, what are some, like, you know, you can't get them on the phone. Everything's via email. Don't DM them. Don't, like, you can't talk to anybody. They're just email, email, email. And you don't really know what you're gonna get. I mean, they have all these claims, you know, you could do screenshots on the internet. How do you know if it's a scam, or not even just a scam, but just maybe, you know, like, okay, maybe you don't want to necessarily go with a company that all you can do is email them. Is that a bad thing if that's the case, where you can't talk to anybody on the phone? They only communicate via email. That's it. Is that a red flag? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's definitely a red flag. I want to get you on the phone. I want to get a Zoom call. Like, what if something happens and I have a serious question and your emails don't provide enough context, right? To where if we're on the phone, I could at least like dig to really get the context that I need. So that's definitely a red flag for me if they only communicate via email. I don't go for that.
Neither do I. I don't necessarily like it, but I have experienced it. And they send you this long email and they're like, yeah, this is how it all works. And it's so like, what? And it's like, yeah. And don't contact us. Like, there's no numbers. There's no nothing. You don't know even who sent it. Like, there's no president. Right. There's no, I've had those emails. So I get it. Just do your research. Let's get into the next question. How do I create a buzz for upcoming project before I even start recording? how do I create buzz around something that I'm, you know, about to like release, but it's not quite done yet?
Yeah, so I got into this music business before the like social media took off. So the tried and true method that is still tried true to this day is to perform, get in front of an audience, even if that's an open mic, and just perform. A lot of folks don't do that anymore, but it's the best way to get immediate feedback about yourself and to see and to get a good gauge of whether or not people like what you have. Now, outside of just performing in front of an audience, you know, you can also oftentimes what I'm starting to see now, especially social media and it's 2022, folks performing and previewing demos and reference tracks on TikTok, right? Or they might get some of their musician friends or a background vocalist, and they might do an acapella or acoustic version of a song, right? Like those are really great ways to capture attention. If you're like starting out and you don't want to like say put out an original, like perform an original, remixes are always great, covers are always great.
Yeah.
And then like once you start to build that awareness around your ability to perform, you know, one of the things that you can start doing is creating content and community building experiences that are around shared interests. So for an example, here in St. Louis, they're not here in St. Louis anymore, but there were these guys called Nina Productions. And so they hosted what they called Gas and Goku, which is a night of anime and cannabis. And so they would have a kickback where they would just watch anime and consume cannabis. And they had a podcast that kind of talked about that. Now, one of the folks is also, one of the folks that was a part of that is a producer, and one of his main artists, one of his main themes is cannabis. So like, you have to kind of start to build that community around things that doesn't always have to be specifically the music, but it could just be a shared experience that people can gather around. And if you're the host and the organizer, people are going to be like, hey, I remember having fun at that kickback. What else do you do? And then that kind of leads into that rabbit hole.
That's amazing. Yeah, I think that it's not just online. I always tell people that your local scene matters. I mean, obviously, most people do want to eventually go national, possibly global, but you're at that local scene. You should be one of the best of the best. Everybody should know what you do in your local town. If you end up moving, okay, that's fine. But then wherever you go, people should be like, yeah, so-and-so does that every Friday night. Or, you know, you can always catch this girl. She's always singing. Or if it's a producer, you know, he's always working with the best, you know, or you're always in the, you know, whatever it is. I think sometimes a lot of musicians I'm talking to, they kind of get so stuck in the social media. It's like, well, that's all I want to do. I don't want to go and promote. Right. It's like, Julian, what I'll hear is, what's the point of going to open mic? Like, why would I still go into, like, in this day and age when I can go on a live stream and then I can have all this? Why do I need to do that? I could literally do everything from my house. I don't ever have to be with anyone. And so it's like, no, to make true impact, you're going to need to meet and hear the feedback and build community. And then, like you said, this audience was doing, you said weed and anime? You said weed and anime?
Gas and Goku.
Huh?
Yeah, Gas and Goku.
Oh, okay, yeah. Anime is some weed. Like, that is so random. That is so random. Like,
what? It worked. They built a cult-like following here in St. Louis doing something that they love and that they knew people also loved.
Right. Yeah. Let me tell you a good example. Let me tell you a good example. You know who I like right now? Trick Daddy. Trick Daddy is on YouTube. This is what I'm saying. It don't gotta always be music, man. This man got a cooking show. I was watching like 5 episodes. I didn't even know I liked the show until I watched the show. This man is literally cooking in his kitchen, doing some, you know, home down, not really like not showing you the recipe, but showing you the recipe. And it's so good. It's called I Got My Pots or something like that. It's on YouTube, but whatever. And I was like, look at these, you know, whether they're, you know, mainstream or even I see independent art, they come up with some cool creative things that nobody else is doing a cooking show, doing something with anime, like combining different arts. I love to eat. So that's why I was just watching the thing. But, you know, I was like, oh, he know how to cook. So and then he's promoting his restaurant. And then you're going to want to go check out his music. And then he's bringing on guests to talk about different things. Like, it was so entertaining. I forgot it was a cooking show. And it was cool. If you get a chance to watch it, I would definitely watch it. It's really funny. Actually, it's hilarious. But yeah, like there's ways to create buzz that's not always check out my music or go look at my new video or go like what else do you like to do? What else do you like to do? I think that's really interesting. The weed and the anime. That's wow.
I mean, it goes back to your very first question about branding yourself, right?
Yeah,
Not it's the lifestyle. People want to see your lifestyle and be a part of it. They want that lifestyle for themselves. They see themselves in you. So you want to make sure that you can give them other things outside of just your music.
Exactly. And it sounds so simple and basic, but it's like you got it. And then you got to nail in it and get really good at it. And sometimes you have to pivot, but it just depends. But that's why you keep trying new things and you see what sticks. Let's go into the next question. So what's the best way to get my fans to engage with the content that I create? We kind of started talking about this. So what's your best advice about how do I get them to engage? I'm posting, I'm not getting the responses, Julian. Like, what do I do? I'm in the DMs. It's just not. What's the best way to get these people to like, comment, share, subscribe, sign up?
I mean, you kind of just touched on it. It's like experiment with your content. Just try different stuff. And I think the other thing that we kind of get caught up on with social media is that, because I see this a lot specifically with like Twitter, where like people will say something and just put it in the wind. Or like for an example, they'll put something out there and not realize that social media is a two-way street. Like you have to, if you want engagement, be a part of a community engage. Like that could look like you having a Instagram story engagement sticker where it's like a funny photo of you that could be used as a meme online, and you can just simply say caption this, and then you could simply just share all of the responses, right? Like I feel like folks try to overcomplicate the aspect of creating engagement when it's have a conversation, right? And even then, like, make your fans a focus group, whether that's, you know, a private Instagram DM group or a super phone or social phone. Like give them access, give them content in advance, get what their thoughts are. And typically what happens is those same folks that are part of that focus group are going to be the main people sharing your music because they feel valued and they felt seen. Like I just had a conversation with a very popular artist from the East Coast, not even 2 hours ago, who did that strategy. And the 20 plus people that was in his like social phone, super phone, like chat, who he sent music out to early. He told me every single person, a part of that, ended up sharing his music on their story as soon as the song was released. So be engaging yourself, like engage with your fans. Don't feel like you can be too cool to be cool with your fans. Like, engage with them. They want to feel seen and valued. Like that's the point that I'm trying to drive home. Make them feel seen and valued.
I would add to that, be patient, because it's not, and then also don't compare yourself, because maybe your traction is going to go a little slow. It may not be 1,000 people all of a sudden just want to sign up and want to like be engaged. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it was 20. But it was all engaged. It was 100% ROI, like a return on their investment. That, you know, messaging them, they all went and shared. 100% of them shared. So it's like, if you continue that traction, man, it, you know, it's just smaller chunks. And then it's that snowball effect later on. So sometimes even myself, I've gotten caught up with like, I want the numbers. I want, you know, you get kind of pushed into that where you want the numbers and you want it quick. And that's slow and steady at times, you just never know. And then if you keep continuing to make connections, like you said, experiment, try new things, you never know what may stick, and collaboration.
Yeah, because to your point, right, like one of my clients, he has a pretty big like VIP super phone list where it's like over 300 people. And so we could blast something.
What is super phone? I don't know what that is.
Okay, perfect. So super phone, I'm happy you asked. Super phone is a SMS marketing software. It's a CRM, make a long story short, that was created by Ryan Leslie. And so you're able to directly text fans, you know, like just on some personal, hey, just checking in. You can send them an early link to your music. You can connect your system with Shopify. So you can send them a Shopify link and people can directly purchase from you. Like, it's just a CRM system software that you can use that's tailored for music. So yeah, does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. I kind of already knew it was text message, but for anybody that's rewatching this or may have like, what is Superfall? What is he talking about? So Julian, this is not really a question. I'm just throwing this out there. What is your favorite way of connecting with your audience? Is it email? Is it social? Is it in person? Is it text message? Like, what's your favorite? What have you noticed that like, this actually is, that really works for me when I throw a text message out there, email, I post up something on social media. What's the best platform to get the best results you've seen?
That's an excellent question. And that kind of shows, so to answer your question, I don't do a good enough job with social media. Okay. I don't do a good enough job with email.
Okay.
I don't do a good enough job with SMS. I'm one of those people, I'm just keeping it a stack with you. I'm one of those people, you got to catch me when you see me and ask your question. And if I have the, you know, when we're together in person, I you know, I'll provide that consultation, and you know, because typically, like, if you don't see me in person, you're gonna have to pay for my time, right? I want to say 90% of my businesses come via referral, word of mouth. And so, you know, I've tried email, I've tried SMS, I experiment, and just, you know, email usually works best, to be honest. But like, if I'm trying to like grow my email list, I'm usually doing it at in-person events. That's generally how I've built my list over the years, but nice. I'm trying to really like create an automated, funnel for folks to really fall into what I'm doing now, which is to like focus on social and build that.
Explain what a funnel is, just in case somebody doesn't know what that means. That's a marketing term. What's a funnel?
Yeah. So, the best way to explain it is, and I was going to get to it. That's actually like, I think one of our next questions actually.
Oh, so, okay. All right. Well, I know what question is the next one. So how can I turn a casual listener like on Spotify, YouTube into a lifelong fan?
All right. So that, I'm happy you asked that. And I'm happy that you asked what's a funnel, because, think about if you've ever had to put oil in your car, right? There's that cone-shaped tool that you use to put oil in your car. And at the top of this cone, this funnel, it's super wide, it's super big, you know, it's huge, right? And it's the idea of being able to get large amounts of, in this instance, people to go through this funnel, and it ultimately is gonna funnel out at the bottom with a more narrow niche group of people that are more likely interested in your content and you and your lifestyle brand, right? So I like to directly answer your question around like how to turn a casual listener into a lifelong fan. I like to use a process called customer journey mapping. It's a more fancier funnel, just to be honest. But it's a strategic plan to present your brand over time, over the lifetime of having that fan or customer. So, and that's everything from when they first become aware of you, whether that's through, you know, scrolling on social media or a reshare from social media or a concert or a logo, like a sticker that's just randomly placed somewhere, to like them seeing offers at that concert or online on your website or social media, wherever. It's taking them through that whole journey of like not being aware of who this person is to becoming one of the host fans that are giving an artist $200 for that bundle that somebody gets. Now, the strategy that I use with that to provide some examples, right? So at the top of the funnel, I try to do what's called, when people don't know who you are, I tell my clients to do a performance video. because it's, I don't want to say it's easy, but like me personally, I don't become a fan of someone until I've seen them perform. Like, I don't even really like to listen to people's music until I've seen them perform. Now that's not always the case, but for me, that allows me to connect with that artist a little bit more. So I usually tell folks to start with a performance video. Then, like, after that, generally it's like a music video. And then at that point, they are aware of who you are. Now, the next step in the funnel within customer journey mapping is the education phase. Now, that's typically a video EPK or a press article. Are you, you know, having ads running that's just like, hey, I'm so-and-so, and, you know, this is what I do, and dot, 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 right? Once you kind of exited that education stage, it then goes to what's generally called the permission stage or the acquisition stage, where you're trying to acquire them as a customer, but specifically with getting their contact information. So email, phone number, so you can directly communicate with them. Like, as a marketer who specializes in digital advertisement, I don't want to have to keep paying or leasing an audience. I don't want to have to keep paying Facebook or Google to reach people. At some point, I want to be able to own those contacts so I can directly message them. And then once I have their number, I then nurture that relationship with them by sharing personal stories or what, like, just ways to just providing nurturing content. And then once you've kind of nurtured them, they're more acceptable to wanting to buy from you. And so I usually, right after like nurturing, I present a small offer, like somewhere between $5 to $20. And then once they've kind of bit, I nurture them some more. And then I start to give them larger, like $50 to $100 offers. And then I kind of end my funnel with a loyalty program that's like a viral marketing campaign or some type of VIP list. Now, another analogy that I like to use for that is like dating, right? So if you see someone that you're interested in just randomly, right? You could be at the grocery store, you see someone that you like, and you're going to make your presence known, right? You're going to introduce yourself. Now, it may not be that first time that you see that person where you get that person's number, right? But you're making your presence known, you're seen. The second time, you know, generally you're educating them a little bit more. So the next time you might see them might be at a club, it might be somewhere, and you start to talk, you start to engage with each other a bit more. And then at some point you're going to ask for that person's phone number, right? Then once you get the phone number, you're going to typically ask for a date, which is the nurturing stage. You nurture for a while, you ultimately ask that person to be your partner, which then becomes that affirmation stage. And the further you go in that relationship, you're going to get to a loyalty stage, which is typically marriage, right? So that's just another analogy when it comes to customer journey mapping that actually helps a lot of people kind of understand that concept. And if you want more resources around customer journey mapping, there's a platform called Digital Marketer. They've kind of really zeroed in on providing resources around helping people understand what it means to like touch your potential customer. So definitely check out Digital Marketer if you're interested in learning more about that.
Is that how you slide up on a girl, Julian? try to wait till you, because what I was going to say, just to be funny, I was going to say, you know what? Because if a dude, he may not see me again. So I know what you were, but I know what you were saying. I know what you were saying. Because sometimes you don't get a second chance, huh?
I'm in St. Louis, so I see everybody about 4 or 5 times.
Okay, well, that's different. Yeah. It's a little different. Because I know somebody tries to slide on me, I'm like, you got to catch me at that airport. You better see again. Don't slide in my DMs though. But I love that analogy. I talk about it all the time. You know, it's like people will shoot their shot and it's like, it's the same thing. Literally, yeah. Marketing is all of, it's the same. We all sell ourselves. We do it constantly, all the time. And I just think that's such a cool explanation of what that is. I'll say this, there was a time, and then we'll get into the last question. I was living in Houston. And I was doing catering at the time. I just moved to the city. I ain't really have nothing going on money wise. So I was like, all right, let me get this catering job. And there was this DJ. And I was like, hold on, what's that? So it's that, like you said, make your attention known. This is what I did. So yeah, I had the little uniform on, but you know, I'm cute. I like, you gotta have confidence. Like, even right. if you over there in your scrubs, like you gotta.
Right. You so gotta
what
rock
I
did it.
Was I walked towards the DJ booth when, at the end of my shift, like I saw everybody kind of going home. And then I kind of, that's when you make your approach, right? It's the same thing in marketing. I'm just giving a funny story, but literally I did the same thing. And what I did was I was listening to his conversation. I didn't approach. And sometimes you could do the same thing on social media. Listen to what people are saying. Like before you jump in, like listen, right? So I was listening to him. What he said was, hey, I'm not from Houston. Like, where's Sugarland? Where is Katy? And I was like, ooh, I know, cause but the thing is, I only been here 2 weeks. But I was like, look, I got my shot. Like, let's go, let's go, cause I ain't about to. I don't know if I'm gonna see this dude again. So I did right. that. So that's when you find a connection, right? I'm making it sounds really funny, but no, seriously, no, do this. Ass. You find this, huh? What'd you say, Julian?
I just said dead ass.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was like, I didn't know what's gonna happen. I was just like, I'm not gonna pass this up. So And you know, whatever. So I was like, hey, I actually know the area. I just moved here. He was like, oh, really? And I was like, yeah, yeah. So we're talking and yeah, I was just like, yeah, what's up? Da da da. And he tells me, hey, I'm a DJ. I'm actually a traveling DJ. And we ended up being friends. Like it never went out, nothing like that. He's still my friend here on Instagram. If he watches this, he'll know what I'm talking about. But you know, and then he was like, all right, so this is what happened. So once we talked, I was like, you know, everybody does this. What's your Instagram? What's your handle? What's your so that's what we did. We exchanged that. We never actually exchanged numbers. We only connected on social media, but we met in person. And I was so glad that I did slide up, not in his DM, but like slide up to the DJ booth. To say what's up, like, hey, what's up? I didn't know what was gonna happen. I was just like, what's going on? You know, I just want to make right. myself known. And he was like, you're kind of cute. So, anyways, nothing ever happened. Right. But that's I like to do that just to make this kind of like funny too. I know it's like, you know, stuff that we're gonna talk about, but that's what I did. Sure. I got the guy's I got his attention, I found out what he needed. He needed help, then I gave him some help. Well, the best help I could give him. But then we talked, we engaged. That's what you do on social media. That's what you do on the internet. And then I got his contact. He got mine. And then we kept DMing, and then we both support each other. So it's just like, it's a funny story. But anyways, I love to talk about that story because it's funny. And I know him personally now. He lives in New York. Yeah. Anyways, but yeah, Julian, that's... that story because sometimes y'all waiting until the second shot, y'all may only get one shot. Just right. make sure you kind of you move, and, you know.
And even then to that point, right? Like you may not get that second point. And so to make the analogy clear, if there isn't a chance to see them again, right? When you're doing retargeting ads, you can set up the ad to appear immediately after they've seen that first
right.
piece of content. So right. you know it doesn't have to be 2-3 introduction parts. Mm-hmm. It could literally be, hey, I see you, I acknowledge you. And as you're having that first conversation, you're getting to know the person. And then right. by the time you're done with that conversation, you could acquire that person number if you got it like that. Same thing with
ads
and digital marketing. It's the same principle.
Gotta always come correct, y'all. Y'all gotta like seize the moment, man. Seize the moment. Whether it's your dating life, it's your whatever, like your career, like seize the moment. You don't know. But like you said, even if somebody visits your website one time, you can target them. You can find out, you know, hey, you know, and then they're like, oh yeah, I did see that person before. And so, yeah, I just wanted to share that story. I'm trying to throw out what I'm doing, Julian, is I'm trying to share little personal stories throughout and not just do business content. Was like, this is the tip. This is not what to do. And I'm like, okay, I can share some things about myself and people know me in the industry. They're like, oh yeah, Dev's kind of wild. But anyway, so the last question, and we have a question too. I didn't miss it. It's on Instagram, but let me get to this last question. Wow. Before hiring a marketing agency or a business consultant, what should I look out for? I think you kind of wrapped that up earlier, but is there like just one or two things that you can definitely, whether you're looking for a manager or a consultant, just someone to look out for, what should an artist be paying attention to? Like what's something, I think you already kind of went over, but you want to just wrap it up in like one or two advice.
I'm gonna say 5 quick things, right?
Okay.
Experiment with different strategies, or have studied different strategies, right? So again, do your audit on what you've done in the past, and just study what other folks are doing. So that's one. Secondly, if you have a plan to leverage working with an agent, a marketing agency, or a business consultant, and you're leveraging that time with them to get a new revenue stream, that's something you should look out for too. Thirdly is, if you're getting enough inquiries around your business, that can help supplement the investment of having that marketing agent or the business consultant. That's another like step of knowing that you're ready for that. Fourthly is having a budget for it. And then fifthly, it's like, it's undervalued or not thought about or talked about enough, is like, value your fans. Your fans are your biggest supporters. And oftentimes they will go out their way to support you more than just buying some product. I know fans that actually create content for their favorite artists for free, right?
Wow.
So find your fans that have skills that you're looking for and work with them.
I love it. I love it. Just dropping the gems like he always does. All right, let's get into these live questions here. Okay, so I have to scroll back up. What does it mean to you, top fan? Look, redo this. If I mess up your question, just read, because I was a little confused when you first wrote it. What does it mean to you, top fan? What does it mean for me as an artist and for the fan, which benefits they get from art? Reword that question. Do you understand what he meant?
I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah,
I didn't get it.
Manny asks, let's jump to Manny. Look, if you're still on the live, just go ahead and redrop that. Just try to reframe that. Says, so I'm starting to get traction. What should be the next step? What should I do once I start getting some traction?
Yeah. Say you put out a song, you're getting some eyes on it. One, have you done your SMART goals? Are you measuring, your success or what's being successful? Like, it ultimately depends on your goal, right? So if your goal is to be able to get enough eyes on your music to ultimately tour, well, make sure that you're putting infrastructure in place that's going to allow you to track and measure your streams, where your streams are coming from. If you're running ads, where your ads being the most effective. One of the big things a lot of artists don't do that I have a digital analyst on my team to where we're just combing through data. And so trying to see where we should do a pop-up show, where should we prioritize our merch, where should we do those things. So like, once you start gaining traction, I would say start building a small budget for you to be able to really target those people to generate some revenue for yourself, whether that's through merch, if you have enough like money coming in to be able to create merch, or if you want to drop ship it, like Printful is an excellent option. Or if you want to just create a like VIP list where people pay to access content early, to where you don't have to, there is money that has to go out like creating the content, but that's one way where you're not having to put a huge amount of overhead on you to be able to make some money back. Like, and it doesn't always have to be like content that you make. It can just be like, I have a client who has a paid list of people where he just texts affirmations. Like, so it's like, find what's valuable to your fans and see how you can like feed your fans so they can feed you.
Yes, I like that. I see people do that. I see people do that whole morning, you get the morning text, and they'll post it on Instagram, like get a part of the text group in the morning. I'm like, ooh, that's kind of cool, but I don't know if I want people texting me in the morning. I mean, I get the good morning text from certain people, but that's one thing. But I think it's really cool to have that from your favorite artist or just someone that you like, and they actually have dope things to say to you. I think that's a cool thing to do. I think that would be something I would love to do for Artist Hustle, maybe something actionable that you can do, not necessarily a tip, because it's like, okay, everybody gets tips, but like something you can actually do, implement this week or this month in your business. I think that's a cool thing too. So we got the great, the question is, when a fan becomes, yeah, Manny, also what you can do is book a call with Julian. Plug. So yeah, go check him out. Maybe, you know, go work with a consultant if you have a budget. Maybe you're trying to, you know, figure this out, but it does make sense to invest in your career. Do a consult call. Sometimes they do it for free for like 10 minutes, or it's just a low cost, maybe because you're a new client, but definitely invest that money. Don't try to figure this all out by yourself. This is why I created this series about building your artist team, you doing the work, but then also partnering with other people. All right, so this is the question.
Can I jump in real quick before we get to the next question? So if you do, like, you create that traction and you want to work with someone, right? Don't just, like, because this happens to me all the time. People will book on my calendar. And I'm like, all right, so what do you want to get done? What do you want to talk about? What's the challenge that you want to overcome? Uh-huh. I don't know. Well, like, before you book, do the audit and see where you want to improve or what do you want to double down on and see how you can scale that. Like, really figure that out first before you before you book a call with someone. So
yes, hope that helps. Thank you for that. See okay, Julian, do you see the question? It says, when a fan becomes a top fan, what does this mean for artists?
That means that you can eat. That's exactly what that means. Well, to not make a joke out of it, it's one of those things. I forget the exact, like, survey or study, but it's like, if you're able to get 500 or 1,000 people to spend $100 or more on you, that's what's called a super fan or a top fan, as I think the term is, on OnlyFans or something like that. It's essentially when your fans go out of their way, but they actually, like, love what you do and they want to see you be successful and support you and go out their way to you know, help you out. Like, I know folks that travel hundreds of miles to go see their favorite artists. That's what I consider a top fan. I know people that reshare every single post that an artist makes. That's a top fan. It's the impact that you leave on a person, and that gets them to want to support every single thing that you do. That's what I consider a top fan.
All right, there's another question. Good, the questions are coming in. Drop all the questions for Julian. Do you see that, Julian? So it says, when pitching music to different platforms, websites, playlists, etc., so when you're pitching, should an artist hire someone to make the pitch? Personally speaking, I've sent emails, but I don't always hear back. That's a good question.
Yeah, it is. Great question. And shout out to my guy. I met him in New York a couple weeks back. He's a talented performer. I definitely want to reschedule that conversation because we were supposed to talk and he got sick. So I'm glad that you're in with us. I appreciate your question. Pitching, it really depends. Like, everything in this business is relationship driven. So if you haven't nurtured a relationship with that person, I wouldn't expect to hear back from them. To be honest. Like, and even then, I know certain folks that I had one of my copywriters on my team used to be a music journalist, right? And I have a junior publicist on my team who at one point in time had never sent out a pitch. And so I had my copywriter kind of write up like what it would look like to try to get someone who never nurtured a relationship with someone before to try to get them to cover them, right? So my tips around that would be, one, to acknowledge them and their impact in their work, right? Give them a little bit of praise. You know, I think it's brown nosing or kiss somebody's ass. Like, don't do it too much, but like, definitely compliment them in their work. Reference a previous article or a previous work that they've done, and kind of talk about, hey, I'm so-and-so. I just wanted to say I appreciate what you've done in music journalism. I really like the article that you wrote on J.I.D. or Kendrick. I just also wanted to share with you that I make music myself, and my music has a very similar like tone or feel as Kendrick or JID. I would love for you to consider it for upcoming posts. You know, no pressure, but I would love for you to consider it. If you want more information, I'll gladly give it to you. And that's the end of the email, right? Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But the big thing is that you're going to get a lot of rejection in this industry. Another tip that I would say is to pitch your music months in advance. Like some publications, like they don't even like. I was sitting down, and funny enough, before I met you that night, I was having drinks with a journalist from Pitchfork, and a bunch of other places that she writes for, MTV News, Complex, a bunch of these places. And so I asked her, I was like, hey, like if I wanted to get a client of mine written, an article written by you, how do we make that happen? And she said, well, send me the music at least 2 months in advance, because my editor is going to want that amount of time before we even approve it. So make sure you have the music, you have the press release, you have your one sheets, your EPKs, all that done months in advance, send it out, and just pitch it. Like, and if you don't hear back, follow up 3 to 5 business days afterwards. And if you don't get a response, don't feel bad, go to the next person.
Let me jump in here. All right. My answer is no. Should I put, you know, when pitching, should you hire someone to do the pitch? Absolutely not. Yeah. Why? You said that your emails are not getting heard because you're only relying on email. This is what I want you to do. Now, you may be Julian's client, but you're on, or it's also live, so I'm going to throw some stuff at you. What I also need you to do is, if there is someone that you want in this industry, get on LinkedIn, get on Twitter. If they have a webinar, if they're at an event, if they know someone that knows someone that knows someone, that's why LinkedIn is so important. I know a lot of us are like, why would I get on LinkedIn? Because their assistant may be someone that gatekeepers, and there are still gatekeepers, right? You still, like you said, journalists are on Twitter. Maybe you can get a plug other ways to the real person you want to get to. You just never know. And then that's why you have to keep making connections, not just to the people you want to work with, but just people in general, because it's a small world. And when you only focus on just the internet and social media, you can only get so far. Now, yes, some people, they still blow up, they do it and it works. But I am saying, don't just use one way to get to the goal. There's multiple ways to get to the goal. So make sure that you, and why I say don't pitch yourself, don't hire someone to pitch yourself, because you're selling you. Your music is you. And if you don't know how to pitch, if you don't know how to tell people, I always say, like with the pitches, I did this last year, about a year ago. You need to tell somebody in your pitch, but it's not even a pitch, it's a story. It's like you're telling somebody who you are. When we talk about dating, same thing. My favorite color is blue. Well, not this type of blue, but whatever. You find some commonality and you tell people, where's your destination? Where are you trying to go? How can I help you? But how can this be beneficial to me and you, right? And so you need to pitch yourself. You have to believe in yourself enough to tell the world, to tell the person that you're in front of, that this matters and I need you to pay attention. And or I can give value to you outside of my music. Maybe it's not always you pitching a song or pitching a, you know, don't always come to people saying, hey, I got something going on. Maybe you just share their article. Maybe you just, like what Julian was saying, just like find ways to give value before you do the acts, before you ask for the big thing. But you should be pitching yourself, and it shouldn't even be pitching. It really should just be telling your story and telling people who you are and what you do and why they should care. That's what you should focus on. There was another question, Julian. It says, when is your book gonna be done at Artist Hustle? So me, a book? And this is Julian, are you writing your own book? I'm still waiting to read and add a list to both of you. Are you writing a book, Julian? What's going on?
I'm nowhere near where I want to be to write an autobiography yet. So that's a no.
What but, type of book? Put in the comment. What type of book were you talking about? Is there something that... I don't know. Did I say I was going to do a book? I don't know. I've done other resources. I'm actually... that's so funny. I had a couple of conversations this week, and Danny's on the live too, so he knows what I'm talking about. But there's some cool things that I am working on in the viewing that you guys can actually take like tangible things instead of just watching IG lives and Instagram lives and YouTube lives. I am working on a couple of things that you guys can tangibly take. But I know, Julian, you have a resource library. You have a membership club where you have so much content in one space that you guys can enjoy. So maybe shout that out. He said yes. Okay. Or she. I don't know if it's a he or she. But so, yeah, like, do you have certain books or any, like, guides that you have? I asked you about a year ago. Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Julian, do you
want to
jump in?
Yeah, so in my membership, there are online courses, and then there are the resource library that you referenced, Deb. And so some of the ebooks that I have published exclusively in my membership are things like Market the Music, which is something that I published back in 2019, but it covers things like KPIs, which are key performance indicators. I talked about industry trends that I think are take over the next decade. There are also things like my framework, what a lot of people know me for, which is my pyramid of marketing objectives, which allows you to create a one-page marketing plan for yourself. So that's a resource or a book that I kind of have published. I do have a ebook called How to Write an Artist Bio that I've had actually ready for over a year. I just have never published it, and I'll be publishing it soon. There's a ton of other, like, you can call ebooks that are in my resource library, and you can get those resources at julianjules.com.
I love it. What type of, I asked you a year ago, the question was for you, Deb. I'm waiting for another book from Julian. The thing is, why don't you tell, what do you need help with? Because writing a book is one thing, writing a resource, but what do you need help with? What is it that you feel like is missing? Because a lot of people do put out resources that are great. And I know I promote it here on the channel and in general. So I would love to hear like some topics. What about this? What about that? And because then that kind of helps also me figure out what should be put out there too. But I am working on some things. Actually, I have to talk to a couple people recently while doing the Build Your Artist Team series. But yeah, Julian, is there any other questions? Drop them in the comments below. Julian, what else do you have coming up this year? All that good stuff. I know you're in St. Louis, right?
Okay, so, you're good. So one, I am traveling a lot more. I'm working with I haven't confirmed it, but I've been having conversations with a studio based in Chicago and doing some artist development events there. I'm a part of a community called the Digilog. Shout out to my Digi fam. We do offline meetups all around the country. I'm planning one in St. Louis in September. You should probably come out because it's a conference and a festival that's happening.
I think in St. Louis? You're going to have to send me the details because I got some things I got going on too.
I got you. So there's that. There's, if there's any Chicago people in the room, there's a Digilog meetup next Thursday. Come out. You'll get to meet me in person. I'm like practically in New York. At least once a week each month now. So if you're in New York, you know, holler at me. I'm going to be going to DC quite a bit over the next few quarters, so that's where I'll be. So I'm in a headspace where I'm traveling, wanting to like meet with people in person right now. I'm trying to set up some tours for some folks. My biggest focus right now when it comes to like what I'm doing, it's getting this recording studio open.
You're opening a recording studio?
Yep. And so with this studio, we're going to do something a little different. One of the big things in St. Louis that's lacking is the infrastructure, like music infrastructure. And so one of the ways that I feel like I can kind of help with that is creating a residency program where we can bring in 3 to 5 musicians, give them access to the studio. Where they can, you know, record their music. As they're, you know, recording their music over this 3 to 6 month long term period, We provide, you know, artist development, bring in mentors, bring in industry people to kind of help guide and provide some support. And at the end of the residency, we have a showcasing concert with one of our partners. So that's one of the cool things that we're doing with that studio. If you are not a residency artist, a part of the studio, we will be taking sessions, but you have to be a Julian Jewels member to book a session. Okay. And the only reason why we're doing that is because we want to have a little bit more quality control and actually like work with you. Like it's been too many times where people will go to a studio, they make the music, and then they don't know how to market it. Well, like if you're part of our membership, you get a discounted rate at the studio, and then you get to, you know, have that conversation on how to market the music that you're recording in-house. So that's kind of where my priority has been over the last like month and a half. We hope to have the studio open sometime in mid-July. But I'm not focused on that, helping my artists get where they need to go. And then I'm launching the beta version of my mobile game in August. So those are all the cool things that I'm working on.
You said your mobile game in Target?
So I'm launching my mobile game in August.
Oh, in August. I thought you said in Target. I'm like, Okay. Yeah, that's exciting. That is so exciting. Honestly, this is so good. Like I said before, you know, Julian is so amazing. You said you're not taking any more clients, because when I reposted, I just want to make sure you're not taking it. Just booking consultants or what?
To clarify, I know I don't have the capacity to manage people. I'm gonna toot my horn a little bit. I'm one of the best managers in St. Louis. So oftentimes, a lot of people, when I sit down, have the consultation, at the end of the consultation, it's usually, can you manage me? And I'm like, I don't have the capacity to do day-to-day management. I can do project management. But right now, my project management service is like at capacity. So the services that we're currently offering is the Julian Jewels membership, where you get access to all of like what you would get in our one-on-one conversations. Like you get that on demand for your charge. Well, not for your charge, but it's on demand. And then you do get a complimentary like consultation once every 2 months. So if you have any questions, you get that support. And there's always email support that you can always ask. One of my team members provides support. The other services that we offer are things like digital advertising. That's something that we still have the capacity for. Customer journey mapping, website design. Graphic design, like we still do all of the other services.
Okay,
I just don't have the capacity to manage, to do any more management.
Okay, so
right
the
now.
Marketing services. So like if Manny wanted to hire you to, or anybody else that watch it. Okay, that's cool.
So if you need a publicist, holler at me.
Yeah, I totally understand. Is the studio project just going to be for American artists, or anybody outside of the United States can be there for business?
If you're a part of my membership, you can definitely book a session at the studio.
It doesn't matter your location, your zip code, just sign up. Yeah, this is good, Julian. I'm so excited that, you know, we reconnected and you were able to hop on here, drop all the gems. You know, you always put the gems all over the place. I have to figure out this whole September thing, because I have a lot of traveling I'm going to be doing as well this year. And so don't know if I'm going to be able to make that conference. It's in St. Louis. I just posted, actually. Every month I try to get a list of industry events. Right. There's so many, I can't gather everything, right. You know, all of them. But right. I did see one that's in the Midwest that's going to be in Cleveland. That's coming up. And I was like, oh, I have to repost this, because I'll sometimes get DMs and messages, and they're like, what about the DM? You know, what about us Midwest people? Because everybody's in New York and Atlanta, you know, and the West Coast. What about us? So I think that that's really
cool. I'm going to plug it real quick, if you don't mind. So September 9th through the 11th, it's I don't want to call it new, but there's a art nonprofit here called the Kranzberg Art Foundation. They've been putting on this festival called Music at the Intersection. And so this year, for the festival side of things, they have folks like Robert Glasper, Hiatus Coyote, Erykah Badu, Gary Clark. So it's a phenomenal lineup. Got a bunch of St. Louis artists. But this year they're doing their first annual industry conference. And so they're bringing folks in to talk about the metaverse. They're bringing in AEG and Live Nation and CAA to have conversations about the future of live. You know, the Grammys are going to be hosting a panel discussion. So there's all like the industries coming to St. Louis, which is very rare that this actually happens. Where we get these big institutions to come to St. Louis and share information. And as well as like the program that I'm doing, I'm going to be hosting the Digilogs offline meetup for St. Louis, where we're going to be inviting all of those folks to come out, but also get the chance to just kind of network and, you know, in a more relaxed, informal setting where you get to meet people and have honest conversations that, you know, you probably wouldn't necessarily be able to get via like LinkedIn or Twitter or somewhere, but actually get to shake their hand and have that face-to-face time. So definitely, if you're available, if you want to meet people, if you want to learn about kind of where the industry's headed, definitely you want to be in St. Louis September 9th through the 11th.
When is that? Is that a weekend or is that during the week?
It's a weekend.
Oh, it is. Going off topic. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I have a couple conferences I'm going to. Hi, drop. Where are y'all located at? Because I feel like everybody's kind of all over the place. Whenever I do message people, they're like, "Yeah, I'm over here. I'm over there." I think that's cool. No, it's fine that you plug that in because I'm always trying to find the events, whether I go or I don't, whether it's virtual or in person. I think it's important to put it out there so that's another way to meet people too. And I know Manny was asking the question earlier about, I think it was Manny, somebody, about, you know, making a connection. It's like stuff like that matters. Like even there's no excuses. Even if you just, there was a quote, oh my gosh, now I can't remember it. I'm gonna butch it. But the quote I saw the other day was, everybody wants to network up. Like the vertical, what am I saying? Vertical, right? Up. Mm-hmm. Really, the power lays into right here, right? People that are right around your level where you're at. And so while you're making your pitches, while you're building up your team, just making this, you know, coming back around for this series, you know, don't forget that the other fellow artists, the other people that support you and just people in general, it could be a small business owner. It can be a banker. It can be any, like, just get to know people and let them know who you are and what you do, right? It doesn't always have to be a pitch. It can just be a conversation and stay in touch and follow up and know your needs. And like what Julie was saying, have goals. It all sounds, it's like, I already heard all this. But if I really asked you, do you have a whole plan? Like if I actually looked at your stuff, do you have a whole plan for even right now, we're in June, right? It doesn't matter what month you're watching. It doesn't matter. But if I asked you for next month, do you have it all laid out? Do you know what you're doing for the next quarter? Most people say no. I'm just kind of winging it. I'm doing it every day. So take the time to audit. Like Julian was saying, take the time to figure out what is my needs, whether it's a team or whether you need to just organize yourself. This is so good. This is so good. I guess we can drop Atlanta. Look, so many people, Atlanta.
Now, I don't know why my chat isn't like, I can't see who's all commenting or anything.
Oh, you that can't sucks. See? Okay, well.
But shout out to my Atlanta people.
He said, shout out to the A-Town. Yeah, so, okay, Julian, we'll go ahead and drop Arizona. Oh, that's so cool. I went to Arizona once, and I saw the Grand Canyon. Yeah, Grand Canyon out there on my way to Vegas, and then on my way to San Francisco. It was a road trip. Nice. Really, really cool. Really, really cool.
Grand Canyon is dope.
Huh?
I said the Grand Canyon is dope. I like
Manny, have
Canyon.
You been to the Grand Canyon? You better have been there. Boston. I had what do I do right now from the bottom? Oh, that's a question for you, I guess. What do I do from the bottom? What do you mean by the bottom? Like, you're just now trying to put yourself out there? He said, yeah. Okay, good. You've been to the Grand Canyon. That's good. Julian, answer the question. What should he do? What guy, what do you mean he should be doing? He just started. He don't know what he's doing. Help him out. So,
again, I can't see the question. So
okay.
I guess if you're just now starting out, I'm gonna kind of go back to a point that I made earlier, right? Like, go on social media, perform your music, do remixes, do covers, you know, go out to open mics and perform. Those are like, I want to say, the easiest touch points that you can get to kind of get started, just to see if there is any interaction or engagement or appreciation from people. Now, you know, if you do open mics, typically you're going to be in a room full of other artists. That can be fine because, you know, to your point, I think that's an Issa Rae quote, where she talks about collaborating horizontally. Like, you know, I think Wale talked about it recently, where, like, you know, if you want to grow, like, collaborate with other artists and, you know, do show swaps with other artists. I think you also brought up another excellent point that I kind of do want to touch on. Like, if you're just getting started and you're trying to get your foot in the door, you know, perform. But as you're performing, make sure you're networking. To your point, Deb, you said, hey, like, go to that small business and just support them, right? Like, there have been plenty of times where small businesses, communities throw events, and they need talent. And if you walk a whole community, a whole district, and you tell them, you introduce yourself, like, hey, I'm so-and-so, and I love what you're doing, how can I support you? Or also, I'm a musician, and this is what I do, you can check me out here, and you can check out my performances in your district. When they're looking for somebody to book, who are they gonna think of, right? So definitely be active. I'm a big believer in hyper-local. I don't think I talked about this on the tonight, but I think we're headed into a depression economically, fiscally. And so it's going to get to a point where a lot of stuff is going to be hyper-local. It's either going to be hyper-local or it's going to be the internet. And so you need to be able to get out here and get seen and create some experiences where people can get to know you and actually touch you and engage with what you're doing in person. I think that's, like, people, I think, undervalue the in-person touch, the in-person connection. So, like, I would really honestly start there, because once you get people talking, you know, people chatting is gonna be all over the city if you're doing it right.
Yeah, I think that action step, Manny and everybody else, you know, even for myself, you know, the internet is great. I know it's still COVID. I know people say COVID ain't. Yes, it still is COVID free. At least in my mind, I think it's still COVID. Put on that mask then, you know what I mean? It's a risk. I hope that nobody gets sick. I hope nobody died. But at the same time, people, you have to do the, you can't just rely on Twitter. You can't just rely on social media. It's so easy to just say I'm an internet artist, and that's what everybody else does. So Manny, I'm challenging you, and I'm challenging anybody else that's like, oh man, because, you know, I'm just trying to, even if you already have a fan base, even if you're doing well, challenge yourself this year. It's half the year is gone right now, but it doesn't matter. Even if it's not half the year is gone, set up a hit list of a couple of local industry events, random meetups, other social clubs. Maybe, you know what Wale used to do? Wale is from the DMV, where I'm from. Haha, go. So he used to go to the high schools and perform. Like, during our assemblies, it was always lit. Like, he would bring the go-go band. Like, I still got a picture on my flip phone. Like, he would go into the school. It's like, it sounds so, oh, I ain't doing no high school thing. Yes, do the, like, get into the music, like, because the DMV, not Baltimore, but the DMV loves go-go. Like, I'm a go-go head too, but you know, you need to, because every city has their thing. So you're in Arizona, other people may be in other, you know, niches, Atlanta, wherever, St. Louis, wherever you're at, doesn't matter, Miami. Know your market, know where you're at and know where you want to dominate, and go after it. Like, try any and every opportunity, festivals, schools, whatever, make a hit list. Yo, I need to contact people. Let me sign up for maybe some community-based emails and newsletters. Let me let people know what I do and how I can do it. You have to grind it out. You have to keep trying and do different things like that. And challenge yourself to not just rely on the internet, but your internet presence has to be right. Right. And when I say right, meaning you need to have product. If somebody Googles you and let's say they are interested, you need to have your website. You need to have some, because people are going to look you up. They're going to be saying, who are you? Why should I work with you? And so build those connections in person, but make sure that your online presence is there. You have everything, you know, even if you've never booked a show yet, let's say you're really starting out, you haven't even booked your own show, but make sure that all of your performances is on not just your social media, but building a website, something that you own. And then when you meet people, like what Julian's saying, take their information. Don't just take their Instagram, take their phone number, take their email. Meet up with them, talk to them, different things like that. I don't know what type of music you do, but it doesn't even matter what type of niche you're in. You just need to go after it and stop hiding behind the internet. That's all I'm gonna say. So yeah, I think it's good. And you know, I've made it my mission to get out there this year as well. I was just in Pennsylvania and I met with the artist and I ended up doing a podcast with one of them that had nothing to do with Artist Hustle, but because he told me about someone else and then we met up and then, you know, I've never been booked. That's okay, Manny, but then go support other artists. Go support another artist locally, or go support an artist that maybe is a 2-hour drive or an hour. Well, I know gas prices are crazy, but still just try to, or hop on
someone's live.
To
that point, because gas is high.
It is high.
Amtrak is still cheap. Like,
yeah, well, that's
true. Amtrak from St. Louis to Chicago is $20. Like,
get on that mega bus. Get on that mega bus.
Don't make an excuse. Like, you can stop. Do what you think is best for yourself. You also brought up an excellent point when it came, and I think we're kind of just freeballing at this point, but you know, you had said something that really resonated with me, and I want to drop a jewel real quick. And that's, you talked about Wale performing at high schools. Now, one of the things about this music industry, and this is for the folks that's listening, because I'm pretty certain you know this, Deb. Your biggest audience of people that you probably should target, more likely is going to be high school students. Because they have the time to just listen to music. Don't be a woman pop artist, then you're gonna be in the bag forever if you can get 13, 14, 12-year-old girls to sing along to you, right? That's where the market is. That's like the number one like group that you should focus on is 13 through 18 music lovers, which is almost all of them, right? Then, and that's why I think high school is important. And then who controls the money in the household? Typically, it's a woman. So be mindful and be conscientious of, like, when you're thinking of your campaigns, how can I make sure that I am capturing a woman audience, right? Still be yourself, still like be on brand, but make sure that you are able to capture a woman's audience, because wherever women go, men gonna follow. Tip.
Yeah, that's true. That's why the whole ladies get in for free. Even though I'm not a club person, I don't know if you are, I'm not. But yeah, very accurate. He said, no, you're not.
And I'm not a club person. You're not gonna find me at the club. I went to so funny enough, last club I was in was in Atlanta, 2019. And I was just sitting there looking at everybody just like having a time of their life. It was an outside club.
Yeah.
And I decided not to drink that night. And I was just like, what the hell are we doing here? Just why are y'all flexing on each other? Like, I got better stuff to do than look at grown people just, I'm like, let me go. Let me leave. I'm not a club person at all.
Okay, so I will say this. I didn't go to a club, but it was like a lounge that was turned up like a club. And that was here in Maryland. I'm not gonna say the place. I don't go there a lot. I just went for a birthday party, and I was in there doing whatever, but she had like bottles, you know, they come with the lights and the all of it. Mm-hmm. I was like, what is this? And I don't go to those type of places. Like, if anybody ever wanted to meet with me, I'm like, you'll never catch me. Like, if I'm there, I'm really with a friend. Like, it's probably with a friend. But it was fun. Right. It was just interesting. I was just, you know, they were taking the Henny shots and all this other stuff. And it was, you know, it was fun. Anyways, it was her birthday. But yeah, even I be out here. I don't really be out here, but I be out here. I have my moments. Certain people that know me personally, like off artist hustle stuff, they know, like, yeah, Debbie. I don't be that wild, but yeah, anyways. So
hi, girl, summer.
I joked
and said hi, girl, summer.
Honestly, no, I never did none of that.
Honestly,
I think I'm too goody two shoe. Like, I think my friends, they're like, Deb, but I am a savage. I will, like, you cross me the wrong way. That's one thing about me. Don't
do that.
Because once you, that's the only thing. It's like, once you do something and I'm like not feeling you no more, you never gonna hear from me. Like, who are you? I don't know who this person is anymore. That's my vibe. And they're like, but Debbie, what's up? Like, we ain't friends no more? Real, no.
On the real, music
industry. Locked.
I know every single, like, music industry person, we kind of all like that because we have a lot to deal with. And so we ain't got time to deal with them yet. So I think that's...
I don't. I don't even know how we talked about this. But no, I don't. I cut off so quick. The cutoff queen. I'm trying to be better, though. But the cutoff queen. So don't waste my time. But yeah, have fun, you know what I mean? Have those moments. But even if, this is dope too. Another way to network. If y'all are out with your friends, let's say it is a birthday party, whatever. If I was in that mindset, I could have got with the DJ. I could have pulled up on the DJ booth, like kind of like I was talking about in Houston, and just network, like, hey, you come up in here, you know, or even after his set, like wait until, you know, when he's done with his set and try to connect with him that way. Or even the bartender, like network with any and everybody. Just talk to people. You don't have to.
No, go for it.
No, I was just, I'm pretty much saying the same thing. I'm rambling now, but just put yourself out there, challenge yourself. Don't just listen to what we're saying. Cause I feel like everybody can do more when it comes to connecting. I think that sometimes we get complacent. We're like, oh yeah, I know the same old people. No, really push yourself. How can I learn some more people? How can I not just learn some new people, but also bring more value to the new connections that I'm making, or even the connections I already have? What am I learning? What am I doing now that's different in my life that makes someone else excited, or that someone else can attach to or support? So you should always be thinking, what is next? What's next? What else do I have going on that I can have somebody excited about what I have going on? And so I think that that's important. I don't know how we got on that, but I just want to end it right there. But yes, the assemblies were lit. Like, it was, I loved, like, anytime they had like a local person like come up in the high school, because he dominated the DMV with the go. He was so different. Everybody else was rapping, but he did it with the go-go bands. And that was what made him different. Like, he did a couple songs with some of the top go-go bands in the area. And, you know, who don't love go-go? Oh, well, there's some people that don't. Most people love go-go. Me. The mixtapes and everything. You know, so I think you just got to know your market. You got to know locally where you're at. Use that to your advantage. And then he kept meeting people, went to LA, did mainstream, got with Usher, you know, way bigger than DMV now. But start where you're at. Have that end goal. If you want to get signed, then get signed. Because he was independent, passing out the CDs, doing the high school shows and stuff like that. But he had a long-term goal. He had a team. He wasn't doing it by himself. He had a little entourage, you know what I mean? It wasn't like only him by himself up there, ha, 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 ha. But there was a couple people, right? But he had a goal. He had a vision. And I always remember him at the assembly back in 06, 07. Tell him my age now. But I think this is really, really good, Julian. You're looking like me. I love Wale. I love him. I've never seen him live outside of high school. Isn't that horrible? I've never once seen him live.
I haven't seen him live at all. So
I don't go to a lot of concerts. I'll see people post concerts. I'm like, where's my invite? Knowing daggone well, will I go? Am I actually gonna go? I do want to go, but then I just it's all these people and it's all this, you know, so whatever. But I do like to connect. It just depends. But anyways, enough about that. All right, Julianne, do you have any other last words or anything else that you want to talk about before we drop? I don't think there's any more questions. Yeah. I think everybody
kind of. Yeah, I guess I just say now's a great time to really just put yourself out there. There's so many different ways to capture attention, but I kind of want to like end it with what I started with, like be yourself. Like there's too many people that are trying to sound and be like somebody else or do stuff for clout because they see somebody else doing it. Like,
yeah.
Like understand that this is like when Nipsey said that this is a marathon, it really is. Like I've been in the business going on 20 years here soon, and I feel like I'm just now catching my break. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, move with agility, you know, make sure you're always doing SWOT analysis to see where you could be doing better and see what your strengths are, you know, threats and opportunities, you know, do the audits, but, you know, with all of that, remain yourself. Don't mm-hmm. let money change you.
Yeah.
And, you know, like be the more like, honestly, when you be yourself more and you real with yourself and you're honest with others, you're going to gain the respect of others more. And you also get the support that you need. Mm-hmm. So that's why I stated at the beginning and why I want to end it now with always be your most authentic self.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And you know what's so crazy? Here's a perfect example of an artist that wasn't wild and hyper crazy to get attention. Her. H-E-R. Her. The R&B singer, songwriter, all of that. She's a perfect example of, you know what? I'm talented, but I don't want to use my face to get the audience. I actually want them to hear my voice first. Because I'm already a female, and she's gorgeous. I mean, woman is just, anyways, love her. And I found out about her through a man, like a guy, one of my guy friends, he told me about her. I didn't even know anything about her. And I just found about who she was. And so, you know, she owns it. The glasses, the kind of the mystery of her face. You, like you said, be yourself. And she always says in her interview, she doesn't do a lot of interviews, but when she does, she's like, I really, in those early days, she's done other stuff where she showed her face, but then there, it was like she did a transformation and she's like, actually, the album cover is a silhouette of her body. Like, you don't even see nothing. You don't know who she, well, she got a little butt, so you can see this. But whatever, but like, she was herself. So going back to what Julie, go ahead.
No, I was just going to add on to that. It's like, you know, and then there's other artists like The Weeknd who, you know, who, when he first started out, he, you know, had that same level of mystery. And even to this day, like a lot of the music that he puts out is under not necessarily a character, but it's a character. So if you're going to have a character for your persona, see it through. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think folks like The Weeknd has been successful. Or folks like a lot of times the creator is successful. It's because they have these personalities that Beyonce is another person who they have this character that they embody through their music, but then themselves are a completely different person. But when it's time to be a public figure,
yes.
You're going to get that public figure. So
right.
Sometimes you don't have to always be yourself, but if you are going to be a character, be the character. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just need to figure it out. You have to figure, like you said, you know, don't try to be a carbon copy of somebody else because you say, oh, well, that person did it and it worked. I'm gonna sound like so-and-so. And it's like, no, you can get inspired though. Definitely get inspired. Kind of like what I was talking about with Trick Daddy and the cooking show, you know what I mean? So get inspired when you see people do things like that, but then figure out how can I create something like that? How can I do something that's different? But yeah, let's end on that note. Thanks again, Julianne. I'm going to drop all of his links in on our artisthustle.com website under Build Your Artist Team and all the so many gems that he has. Go to his website, julianjules.com. Yes? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Good. So go to his website.
Username is how to get to it. Yep.
Huh?
My bad. I was just saying my username right now, julianjules.com. That's the domain. Just put the dot between.
Yes. So check him out. Check him out and make sure that you support him. He has so many dope, dope things that's going on. And like always, you know, go to our YouTube and check out the website. I have so many other things that's coming up. And let me know. You can slide in my DMs. Say what's up. Or, you know, sign up for the VIP email list and I send out different content and opportunities and different things like that I'm doing that I don't always post everywhere else. So yeah, Julian, thanks again. Have a great night. We will be talking soon.
Perfect.
Right, have a good one. Bye. We are live again. This is the third time.